This Easter Sunday, I have bad news and I have good news. The bad news is, for the most part, our churches are empty. But the good news is, so is the tomb. The tomb is empty. And that's what really matters on this Easter Sunday. Now, most folks celebrate Easter by thinking, or when churches met, observing the resurrected Christ and the empty tomb, the early morning hours of Easter, and rightly so. The empty tomb is one of the primary evidences of the resurrection of Christ. But there's another very important evidence that Jesus rose from the dead and he is alive. And that is his various appearances to different ones, as the scripture records. He appeared to Mary. He appeared to Peter. He appeared on the road to Emmaus, to those two disciples with whom he walked. And then finally, that Easter, first Easter evening, he appeared to the 12 disciples. And that's the appearance I want us to think about this Easter Sunday morning. It's recorded in Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 49. And in these verses, Jesus not only appeared to his disciples, but he challenged them concerning what the resurrected Christ should do in their lives. You know, it's one thing to just believe that Jesus rose from the dead. It's another thing to allow that belief to change your behavior. Belief without behavior is really not belief at all, friends. And so in verses 36 through 43 of Luke 24, Jesus convinced them that he was alive. And then in verses 44 through 49, he connected that belief to their behavior. And he said, essentially, the Easter realities and rejoicing that you are experiencing brings responsibilities. The truth that Jesus really is alive should impact your behavior. So the question this morning is, do you really believe Jesus is alive? Notice in verses 44 and 45 of Luke chapter 24, if you really believe Jesus is alive, you will see him in the scriptures. Then he, Jesus, said to them, the disciples, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Notice what Jesus said here. Everything written about me. You will see me in the scriptures. And then Jesus broke the Old Testament down into the three major divisions of the Old Testament in his day. The law of Moses, or the Torah, the prophets, and the Psalms, the largest book of what is called the writings. He said, you will see me in the Old Testament primarily. In the Old Testament, we see Christ in pictures. One of the most beautiful pictures is the one that we talked about and celebrated this week, the Passover. The Passover celebration was a time of remembering God's delivering Israel from the physical bondage of slavery in Egypt. Now, Jesus delivers us from the spiritual bondage of sin. So we see him in various pictures all throughout the Old Testament. Then we see him in different prophecies of the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 53 is probably one of the most clear passages of Old Testament scriptures that prophesies the death of Christ for our sins. And then at various times we see Jesus pictured in actual presence. There's an expression that appears various times in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord. I believe, and many Old Testament scholars believe, that is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. They're called Christophanies. Now, admittedly, reading the Old Testament is hard work sometimes. But you know, someone who's mining for gold doesn't mine all the work involved when he strikes that mother lode, that large vein of gold. And so the work you put forth in reading the scriptures, the Old Testament, and seeing in the scriptures Jesus will pay off in your spiritual life. And friends, if you, like many Americans, struggle with reading, 1 in 7 adults have difficulty reading in our country. If you're one of those, listen to the scriptures read. Oh my goodness, we've got Bible apps, we've got the Bible on CDs. You can go to internet sites and find the scriptures being read to you. Think about it. That's the way the church learned the scriptures for the first 15 centuries of its existence. It was read to them. The main thing is see Jesus in the scriptures, because if you really believe Jesus is alive, you will want to learn all you can about him. If you really believe Jesus is alive, you will see him in the scriptures. But also Jesus went on to tell his disciples, if you really believe Jesus is alive, you will share him with sinners. In Luke 24, verses 46 and 47, Jesus said, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." In these verses, we see our message. Folks, we do not become Christians by obeying the teachings of Jesus. We do not become Christians by following the example of Jesus. We become Christians by trusting the sacrifice of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the scripture says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." There's a little couplet that says, "Christ paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay." That is what saves us, believing that Jesus paid it all, and therefore all to him I know. That's the message. Our message on this Easter Sunday morning is not about our church and how great and grand it is, or about what Jesus will do for you if you place your faith in him. Friends, our message on this Easter and every day should be on what Jesus did for you when he died in your place and my place on the cross, and 3 days later rose again so that we could have eternal life. But then in verse 48, as far as sharing with sinners, not only do we have our message, but we have our mission. In Luke 24, 48, Jesus said, "You are witnesses of these things." What does a witness do? A witness tells what he or she has seen and heard. They give a testimony. You know, a number of months ago, we had an all-church experience where we talked about telling your story. And one of the emphases on that all-church study that we had was the 15-second testimony. Briefly state what you were before Christ, state how you came to Christ, and then share what has happened to you after trusting Christ. For example, there was a time in my life when everything was about me. I lived for myself completely. But then I heard about Jesus and how he died for my selfishness. And I trusted him as my Savior. And now my life is not all about me. It's about others. And it's about him. That's a witness. That's a testimony. If you really believe Jesus is alive, you will see him in the scriptures. You will share him with sinners. And thirdly, Jesus tells his disciples, if you really believe Jesus is alive, you will serve him in the Spirit. In Luke 24, 49, Jesus said, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." Notice, in serving him, Jesus promises power to the disciples. The task is too big to do by ourselves. We need divine enablement. In fact, in Luke's second volume, the book of Acts, he begins essentially where he leaves off in his Gospel of Luke. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he tells these disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Think about it. To these 12, or at this point, because of Judas, 11 men, Jesus said, "You're going to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth?" No doubt those men were wondering, how on earth can we do that? Well, in and of themselves, they couldn't. But with the power and through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to do it. And later on in the book of Acts, we read about people saying, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come to us also." The power of the Holy Spirit. You see, friend, for every mission, God provides the means. God has given to each one of us a specific mission. For husbands, it's to love your wives as Christ loved the church. For wives, it's to respect your husband. For children, it's to obey your parents. For parents, it is to teach and train your children. For slaves, it's to obey your masters. And for masters, it's not to be harsh upon your slaves. How is it possible to pull all these relational tasks off? Well, That passage in Ephesians 5 starts out with, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." A person who's under the Spirit's control will love his wife like Christ loved the church, will submit or respect her husband as the church does to Christ, will obey their parents as children, and on and on. God's means, the power of the Holy Spirit, is the way to pull off his mission. But remember in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, "You will receive power." The end of Luke 24, verse 49, he said, "Stay in the city, wait until you're clothed with power from on high." And that gives us not just the promise of power, but a perspective on waiting as we serve the Lord. And boy, are we not in a time period of waiting right now. I cannot wait until this coronavirus epidemic is put down, is over, so we can all gather together as God's people in our churches once again. But you know what, friends? Time waiting on God is never wasted. In Acts 1:14, the scripture tells us what these disciples were doing during that 10-day period between Jesus' ascension and the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. It says, "All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." Interestingly, this verse, Acts 1:14, is the last place we see Jesus' mother, Mary, walk across the pages of Scripture. Wow, what a great way to go out, praying. And so during this time of waiting that many of us are experiencing, rather than seeing every Netflix series there is ever produced and vegging out in front of the TV 18 hours of every 24-hour day, how about spending some time in prayer? How about spending some time in reading the Scriptures? How about spending some time with God? And then this verse, Acts 24:49, gives us our philosophy of living. Life is about serving Christ. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where it says, "We are his workmanship, his work of art, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Friends, life isn't about making all you canning all you make, and then sitting on your can. That's American view of life. No, life is about serving Christ. William Carey, often called the father of modern missions, was a shoe cobbler by trade before he went to India as a missionary. He kept a map of India in his shop, stopping every so often to study that map and to pray over it. Sometimes, because of his preaching ministry, his shoe business suffered. One day, a friend admonished him for neglecting his business. "Neglecting my business," Carey replied intently, "my business is to extend the kingdom of God. I only cobble shoes to pay expenses." Is that your view of living, friend? My business is to extend the kingdom of God. I only work at the office, work at the hospital, work in the shop to pay expenses. So on this Easter celebration Sunday morning, do you really believe Jesus is alive? Well, if you do, you will learn all you can about him. See him in the scriptures. Let me challenge you, if you have not begun Bible reading, maybe because you're a rather new believer or you're an old believer as far as age goes, but Bible reading and study has never been part of your life. Let me challenge you this Easter Sunday morning to read one chapter of the New Testament a day. You can do that in 5 to 10 minutes. And in less than a year, you will have read the entire New Testament through. That's doable, friend. And if you really believe Jesus is alive, you will learn all you can about him. If you really believe Jesus is alive, you'll tell others what you can about him. Think about what your 15-second testimony could be. Even write it out so you have it ingrained in your mind. And when opportunity comes, there was a time in my life when, but I met Jesus and trusted him as my Savior to save me from my sins. And since then, this is what he's done in my life. And finally, do what you can for him. Serve him in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the resurrected Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that by virtue of his resurrection, we are assured that what he did for us on the cross worked. And so, Lord, because of the resurrected Christ, may we be challenged to learn all we can about him, tell others all we can about him, and do all we can for him. I pray in his living, wonderful, glorious name. Amen.